Good morning, everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to be discussing or hearing a sermon on the topic of abortion, but this won't necessarily be like a Sanctity of Life Sunday kind of sermon, although that will play into it somewhat, but also the fact that we're looking at kind of an apologetic, a defense of the philosophies or the beliefs or the worldview that we get from Christianity, from God's Word. So I was trying to incorporate all of that so that we can leave here a little bit prepared for the world that we go into on a daily basis. I'm going to move this up a little bit because I don't like being that far away. So this week, as I've been preparing for this and just thinking about the different things I want to talk to you about, I came across this incredible scripture here in Genesis, which we'll be digging into as our main text. But I wanted to start off our time together by calling us to think about what lives matter. We hear a lot of phrases these days, like Black Lives Matter, and then you hear the rebuttal, All Lives Matter. The question is, who says that Black Lives Matter or that all lives matter or that any lives matter? If the answer is not an authority greater than us, as in the Creator, God, Yahweh, the one we were just saying, Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, O Lord. If the answer doesn't come from an authority higher than us, then the only answer to the question is, says me. Granted, says me sounds really good when the majority is saying that life matters. But when the majority is saying that life does not matter, then we have things like slavery. We have things like the Holocaust. We have over 59 million dead babies in America in my lifetime. So when we have says me as the authority, we have a problem. We end up having enslaved people. We end up sticking people in gas chambers. We end up sending people on the Trail of Tears. We end up killing 15 million babies. Time and time again, history has shown us that the only way to enslave people is to dehumanize them. The only way to oppress people is to dehumanize them. The only way to kill people is to dehumanize them. And I would say that society has raised idols named science and evolution, which cannot provide the morals that would keep us from killing those we classify as non-humans. In fact, if we follow their doctrine, we will come to the conclusion that life has no meaning, that we have no meaning, and that this is just a matter of survival of the fittest. So what's the big deal? Kind of heavy this morning. I was talking to a brother at work. He asked, what are you going to preach on? Or was on Friday night? I said, nothing, just a real light topic. You know, abortion. That's what we're going to talk about today. And no light matter at all. And so this morning, to give us some perspective, as we're going through this sermon, I'm going to be bringing this back into your thinking. That ever since this day began, babies have been dying. Not just in the United States, but around the world. The babies have been murdered in their mother's womb through abortion. And there's a place you can go to see what that number looks like. And we're gonna go there now, Jared. If you would bring up the clock. This is the abortion clock that Jared's going to bring up for us. And today, this morning, since this morning started at 12 a.m., because I watched it tick off till last night when it got to 3,000, this clock runs every day. And if you look at the top left, it's in the United States today. And you see the number doesn't stop. It just keeps on ticking. And we're about halfway to 1,500, because we're halfway to the midday. So far today, 1,394.6 babies have been killed in their mother's womb. In the United States, since 1973, Roe versus Wade, 59 million. By Planned Parenthood, 7 million since 1970. By Planned Parenthood this year, 127,000. this number over here on the left or on the right is crazy. Worldwide since 1980, when it started getting counted, 1,415,687,359. Today, since we loaded this page, Alex, since Alex loaded this page for me when we got to church, worldwide, 6,307 lives have been killed in abortions. So we're going to come back to this clock periodically. I'll challenge all of you guys. Why don't you just take a pen, if you got a pen, and write down that number. We're at 1,396. We'll see where we are when we come back. 1,396. Okay, Jared. Thank you. So here in Genesis chapter 25, verses 21 through 26, we have a situation where Isaac and Rebekah have been anticipating for 20 years some children. And Rebekah asks Isaac to pray. Rebekah ends up getting pregnant, right? And Rebekah is wondering, what in the world is going on inside of me? Have any of the women, when they were pregnant the first time, wondered what in the world is going on inside of me? Can I have a raise of hands? Yes? Okay, a few. Paul has? Okay. So you see, back then there was no ultrasound machines, right? To look through her flesh, to look through the uterine wall. Rebecca's first pregnancy, she's waited 20 years since she got married to be pregnant, and she's wondering, what's going on? Am I going to die? What's going on inside this womb of mine? So she went to the inquiry of the Lord, and the Lord replies, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you shall be divided. The Lord didn't just say, hey, you're having fraternal twins. The Lord knew from the moment that Jacob and Esau were conceived. He knew them from the beginning. He knew who they would become, and he called them nations and people. He did not call them fetuses. He did not call them embryos. He did not call them zygotes. He called them nations and peoples. God sees beyond size. That first point, God sees beyond size, that no matter what the size is of the being that's growing inside a mother's womb, God sees beyond that because he sees the beginning to the end. And from the beginning, he calls it what it is. He calls it a living human being. And Alex asked me, I was asking this morning in our prayer meeting if I was going to read from this passage. And in Psalm 139, verse 13 and 16, it says, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together. In my mother's womb, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. See, Rebekah is thinking baby, and there's babies. But God's thinking beyond that. God's thinking nations and peoples. The Christian worldview says today that life begins at conception. If so, then, the matter of size of the human life, once conceived, it is human, no matter what. From the beginning to the end, if you were to genetically test that being that gets going, that being that starts at conception, if you were to take it and test it as we would test anything else, DNA-wise, it is 100% human. Recently they showed a video, there was a video online, and they kind of caught the moment of conception. I don't know if many of you have seen that. It's amazing. Because it's in vitro fertilization that they're doing, and when the sperm and the ovum come together, when the sperm fertilizes the ovum, there's a little burst of light. There's a little explosion. And that little explosion, that little bit of light is, even as the scientists say, it is the beginning of life. They say it is. Conception, yeah, life starts at conception. They just don't say it's a human. They just say it's a zygote. So at that little explosion, there's created a zygote. See, there's a papa cell and a mama cell, and they come together and they join together, and they become two different strands of DNA come together, and they begin to form a new creature, And that little guy is called a zygote. And how many of you in here bypassed being a zygote? No, nobody did. Okay. Who in the Bible that we know of, in man's history, who are the only two people that bypassed being a zygote? Adam and Eve, right? No zygotes. Okay. Beyond that, all of us in here at one point have been a zygote. Nobody gets to be where we are unless we all started off as zygotes. And just the thought of that, just the thought of, at one point, being microscopic. You see, before we created the microscope, God had already seen the zygote. The zygote is too small to be seen by your eyes and by my eyes, but not by God's eyes. We had to invent something to be able to see that small. But we came from microscopic size. And here we are today, and some of us aren't no longer microscopic, right? But think about that. Have you ever thought about the fact that you were once microscopic? That the naked eye could not see you, but that God could see you, the one who knits us together. Just the thought of that blows my mind. We were discussing it this week. Just that thought. At one point, I was so small that you couldn't see me. No one could see me on this earth without a microscope, but God could see me. When it comes to human life, size does not matter. Some people say it's just a blob of cells, and for a long time, that's all you ever heard. Women would ever hear, it's just a blob of cells. And still they say today, it's just a blob of cells. You know, at some point, we all kind of look like a lizard. Along that zygote stage right here, zygote, and the cells start dividing, and eventually, at some point, we all kind of look like a lizard. We're really kind of freaky-looking things. But nonetheless, if you were to take that little lizard, let's call it, the fetus, the embryo, and you were to test it, it would come back 100% human DNA. There's no way, it's not going to come back lizard, it's not going to come back frog, it's going to come back human. Does the size of us make us non-human is the question. As you're approaching and you're dealing with people and you're discussing abortion, this first matter of size, does the size of someone determine whether they're humans or not? Is Noah Brule less human than any of us in this room because he is smaller than us? Is the baby Elijah inside Angela Pardo less human than any of us because he is smaller than us? Should we legalize killing small people like the Zaldivars just because they're short? Sorry. Should we legalize killing short people? No. Size does not matter. The answer is obviously no. Size does not equate value. But some would have us believe that because the human is small, we can kill it. But size does not matter. It does not change the fact that the being is human. That's the first point for today. Size. That size does not matter. No matter what, that being is human. Let's check the clock, Jared. We're going to be checking the clock a lot. Okay, so since that we last checked, we're now at 1,413. 17 babies have been killed so far since we started the sermon. Point two, God sees beyond level of development. God sees beyond level of development. In this verse, when the Lord's speaking, he says to Rebekah, the one shall be stronger than the other, the older shall serve the younger. That's a little bit different in the Bible. Usually it's the older that gets to be the preeminent one, and the younger serves. There's a level of separation, a level of development difference between them. One's going to be stronger. Some think that that means Jacob is the stronger one. I personally think that's a reference to Esau, and we could debate that, because Esau was stronger. However, he was going to serve his younger brother. God doesn't disqualify the twins because of their level of development. Notice that these guys have a difference. God creates us and uses those we would deem less developed. There are some folks that we would deem less developed. In fact, Moses' complaint to God when God calls him into delivering Israel. What does he say in Exodus 4:10? Then Moses said to the Lord, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. I have a disability. I stutter." But God's picking Moses. He's telling Moses, you're going to go. God's not worried about his development or not. God knows what he's going to do through Moses. That doesn't disqualify Moses. The Lord says in verse 11, so the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you will say." See, in our society, we can think about people's development that makes them less human. That's an argument that's made. This person is going to have a terrible life. They're going to be born with this disease, or they're going to have this problem. And from the beginning, they become soothsayers. They become God and saying, what's going to become of that person? Without considering, again, because they've eliminated him, who God is and what God can do through any creation of his. God sees beyond our flesh. He sees his image, the image of God on every man, woman, and child. He doesn't say it's not on the deaf, the blind, or the dumb, or the handicapped. Nick Wojcic is a very famous young man. He has no arms. He has barely anything that you would call a leg. This guy has been in 60 countries, has preached the gospel to thousands of people. Based upon level of development, he should have been aborted. I mean, he's not developed. Is he as developed as you and I are? No, he's not. He's missing his arms. How could he be equally developed as we are? He has that little, his foot on the bottom there. He calls it his chicken wing. He can type with that chicken wing. He can swim. He can go on a surfboard. But he had parents who believed that God could do something with him despite the way he had been born. They believed in a God that could use even those who are less developed. That his life was not a waste. That his life had value. That doesn't mean he didn't go through a hard time figuring that out. But I can tell you where he found his peace was in the Lord. Trusting that God, the sovereign God, had made him the way he was and would use him in that way. Should older children have more rights than younger ones? They're more developed. Should newborns qualify as valuable human beings? Some people say self-awareness is what makes us human. But if that's true, listen to this. According to the Pro-Life Training Institute, newborns do not qualify as valuable humans. Remember that six-week-old infants lack the immediate capacity to perform human mental functions, as do the reversibly comatose, the sleeping, and those with Alzheimer's. Are any of those people less human than us, or lacking, or worthy of being put to death, of being killed? If we were to bring out Joshua Enriquez, he's a little toddler, little guy. He started walking way before he hit a year. And that little guy's amazing. He's advanced. All parents think their kids are advanced. Amen? But he is. He was going fast. He was gone. Like in 9 months he was walking. But he's not quite developed as Churchill is, or as Jared or Jalen or Nick or Chris. He still has a long way to develop. He's on the process from the zygote. He's a toddler now, but he's less developed. Is it okay to kill Joshua because he's less developed? No, it's not okay to kill Joshua because he's less developed. It doesn't impact his value to God. It doesn't impact his value to who he is, to the Lord, who sees beyond the level of development. He saw in that young man, Nick, beyond his level of development. He saw what he could do through and with him. He saw what he could do with Moses. He sees what he can do with you. Nick reminds me that I got nothing to complain about. What's holding me back from being used? What's holding you back from being used? But this level of development plays really, really large into the abortion debate on the pro-abortion or what they would call pro-choice debate, 90% of Down syndrome babies are aborted. 90%. Only 10% have a scratching chance at life. 90% of anybody being killed is ludicrous, is crazy. 90% of Down's babies are aborted in America. There's no other group in America that's being killed at a higher rate in the U.S. I remember when Cassie was pregnant, and for those of you who are growing up and you haven't gotten married yet and you're thinking about getting married and you're down that path, whatever you are, I remember when Cassie got pregnant with Jared. I was at Miami Lakes Baptist Church, and she called me upset, and she said, they called me from the doctor's office, and they said that Jared has a 2% chance of having Down syndrome. And now they want us to have an amniocentesis. Now, first-time dad, 2% chance Down syndrome sounds like a 1,000,000% chance. And they want to do amniocentesis for the little guys, and for folks who don't know what amniocentesis is, that's when they stick a needle inside the mother's womb to get into the sac to take a better test of the fluid inside the amniotic sac so that they can test that to find out for sure if the baby's got Down syndrome or not. For 2% chance of my son having Down syndrome, they want to stick a needle in my wife's womb to find out if he's 100% sure of not having Down syndrome. And I had to think about it. My wife said, she's being like, the baby's Down syndrome. I'm already there. I'm like, the baby's, I mean, they kill you. And I'm like, wait a minute. And then the math kicks in, Alex. And I'm like, that's 98% chance. Man, if I had 98% chance of getting $1,000,000, that's a pretty good chance. 98% is not bad. Babe, 98% is not that bad. Call them people back and, you know, tell them forget it. You know, there's a process anyway in the system, but there was a greater chance of my son dying from the needle than there was from him having Down syndrome. I mean, he's got standing hair, but he doesn't have Down syndrome. Nonetheless, the system is set up already to do all this testing. Why? What was the reason they were testing for Down syndrome? Cassie and I had to make a decision at that moment when she was on the phone. No matter what God sends, we will take that baby. Amen? Should we legalize killing people who are less developed? Level of development does not equal value. Jared, get ready for the clock. So far we've gone over size and we've done level of development. Size and level of development. Not good enough reasons to kill human beings or to classify human beings as non-humans. Okay, we are 1,433. How many? 37 babies since we started the sermon have died in the United States in their mother's womb. Point three, God sees beyond the environment. Rebecca's concerned about what's going on in her womb, and she should be. She's concerned for her own life, maybe. Maybe she's thinking, I'm going to die with these two little guys going at it. However, as we've already seen before, God sees into the womb and into the future of these twins. And the fact that they're in the womb does not change their value to God. One of them will end up being Israel, the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. Just because they're in the womb has not changed their value to God. God already knows who they are, who He has fashioned them to be. Their environment of being inside their mother's womb does not change their value as human beings. Pro-abortion folks would like us to think that unborn children are not human until they exit the womb. That's just, to me, is just nuts. It's insanity. The baby's got to come out of the womb to be a human. So 8 inches through the birth canal and the baby is now deemed human. The environment does not equate value. The baby is already in the womb. 8 inches, 2 inches, a foot, 3 feet is not going to change that the baby is a human being. Nor does it change the value of someone else. Does your value change when you exit any places? If you're in a boat, does your value change as a human? If you're in a house, does your value change as a human? If you're scuba diving and you're in the water, deep, 20, 30 feet under the water, you're in another environment. Has your value changed as a human being? Have you changed being a human being? No. The environment does not dictate that we are humans. What dictates that we are humans is that from the moment of conception, that's what we became. Human beings, because we were born of humans, and they produced humans, and that's what humans produce, is more humans. You guys name for me any other environment in the world today, anyone, any other environment in the entire world where it's okay to kill a baby. In the nursery? In their bed? In the car? In the stroller? Where else in the world is it okay to kill a baby? Nowhere. Should we legalize killing people based on their environment? Environment does not give or take value to anyone's life. God sees beyond the environment. Jared the clock. Frank? 44. I'm glad Frank's here. 45? Almost 45. You know, there's a little number ticking there at the end there that now it's at zero and then it's going to become one and two and someone, you know, on this page it says maybe that's appropriate because of the way the babies are dying, that it's not just they're gone. Most of them are suffering on their way out in terrible ways. Point four, Jared. God sees beyond our degree of dependency. So we've talked about size, we've talked about level of development, and we've talked about environment. Those are things that all humans share. And based on those things, no one should be killed or no one becomes less human and worthy of death, whether they're small, whether they're less developed, or whether they are in a different environment. It doesn't change the fact that they're humans, that they're created in the image of God. Degree of dependency. The older shall serve the younger. God says, well, since the older is going to serve the younger, you can go ahead and kill the older one, right? That's what God says. You can just kill Esau. I mean, after all he's going to do is be a servant to Jacob. Does dependency determine value? Life is a little bit of an interesting cycle. You start out very dependent. Then you become independent. And then you return back to being dependent again. So from dependence to independence, back to dependence. It's such a peculiar thing that happens as we take care of our child, as we care for them and do things for them that you do for no one else, they grow up. And later on, they do things for you that no one else will do. And God, I think of it that way. I think God created this beautiful cycle of life where there is a dependency that teaches you later on to take care of the one that once took care of you. God sees beyond our dependency. Nearly all abortions, here's one of the arguments that pro-abortionists make, nearly all abortions take place in the first trimester when a fetus cannot exist independent of its mother. It is attached to the placenta with an umbilical cord. Its health is dependent on her mother and cannot be regarded as a separate entity as it cannot exist outside of her womb. So the argument is, since the baby's attached to the mom's placenta, and since the baby can't live on its own, then the baby can be killed. The baby now has less value because it's dependent on the mom. Well, there are plenty of human beings that are dependent on oxygen tanks. There are people who are dependent on pacemakers. There are people who are connected to ventilators at different times if they find themselves in a terrible accident and they might need some time for a machine to breathe for them. There are times in our lives where we are dependent upon other things and other people to survive. But it does not change that we are human. A person on a ventilator has not become less human because they're on a ventilator. A person in an oxygen tank has not become less human because they need an oxygen tank to survive. A person with a pacemaker in their chest has not become less human because they have a pacemaker in their chest. Level of dependency or degree of dependency does not change the fact that we are humans. Could you imagine the young man we showed a little bit earlier, Nick? I mean, he spent a lot of time being dependent, probably more than most people spend being dependent on their parents. I'm going to share a little bit of my brother-in-law Robert's story without asking him, which may get me in trouble later. Because I don't know how many of you know this, but my brother-in-law Robert has a very difficult disease to live with. His immune system works 100% or 200% better than yours and mine. So it works so well that it's actually attacking his body. Robert doesn't get sick because his immune system is so strong. The problem is, again, it's attacking him. It's attacking his good cells. So on a cyclical basis, Robert has to go to a hospital for a week and sit with an IV in his arm and be poisoned so that he can be his body can be attacked so hard that his immune system can't help but decrease, just so he can continue to exist. Has my brother-in-law Robert become less valuable in God's eyes or less human because he needs a treatment to keep him going? Has that disqualified him from the human race? No. So there are things in our lives, throughout our lives, from the beginning to the end, to the very end, from the very beginning to the very end, that will require us to be dependent on others or dependent on other things even. But they don't change the fact that we were created by God and that we are human beings made in the image of God. So your size does not matter. It does not change whether you're human. Your level of development, thank you, Pastor Bernie, does not change that you're human. Your environment doesn't change that you're human. And your degree of dependency doesn't change that you're human or change your value. Not in God's eyes. Not in the God who saw two twins inside their mother's womb, but also knew and saw that they were nations, that referred to them as nations and peoples, not as other things, not as anything less than human, but those creatures which he had made, which he had called into being, which he made human beings. He didn't call them anything less. He called them nations and peoples before they were even out of the womb. This is the worldview of the Christian, that at the point of conception, we are all created at that point in God's image and we are classified as human beings. We are not less than that. If we were to give any room in there to any of these arguments, then we would be able to justify the murder of anyone. Just like Hitler justified the murder of the Jews. You know how he did it? By a campaign to prove and show and teach people that the Jews were not humans. They were rats, but they weren't humans. How is it that we had slavery in the United States? How? Or in any other country? Because the Africans that were being taken from their nation were considered less human than the ones who were buying them and oppressing them and taking them. Anytime that we begin to disqualify someone's humanity, it is only so that they can be oppressed and maybe even killed. But in God's eyes, they are all the same. They are all His. They have all carried His image. So here you have the SLED test. Size, level of development, environment, and degree of dependency. Most people that you talk to, if they're not believers, if they don't want to hear about God, you can still address the issue based on these four things. These four things don't change. So if you're getting a conversation and they don't want to go the Bible route and they're not ready for that, depending on, you know, your conversation with the person, you got to figure that out. This is a fantastic way to help people put together some clear thinking, to clear away all of their presupposed notions and their stances, which everybody has to some degree. They have to be challenged with these truths that size, level of development, environment, and degree of dependency do not make anyone non-human. And then you can always close out your time with them and ask this question, or ask them to finish the statement. It's okay to kill a baby when? And let them fill in the blank. It's okay to kill a baby when? And let them fill in the blank. Last time to check the clock, Jared. So since I started preaching this sermon, 64 babies in the United States have been aborted. This clock runs 24 hours a day, 365 days on the internet. I'm thankful that the number's at 3,000 now. It used to be 5,000 a day. I'm thankful for that, but it's still 3,000. It's still too big of a number. Turn, if you would, to Proverbs 24. This is a verse that kind of has spoken to me as we were reading through the Proverbs. And it made me think of us as lifeguards. I have that written down in my Bible. In verse 11 it says, "Rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. Listen closely. If you say, 'Behold, we did not know this,' does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work?" In the bulletin, I'm hoping Pastor Bernie, I didn't look in the bulletin, but I'm hoping that he put what I sent him. He put it, huh? Okay. At the end of the day, all the arguments, all that stuff, it's all about the babies to me. Really, we're talking about human beings who are being killed. And that clock after a while just looks like numbers ticking off, but it's astronomical. What are we going to do? One thing that you can do is become better equipped to have these discussions, to maybe help some people change the way they think about abortion. Maybe that's all you're going to do. Maybe it's to help with pregnancy centers. I know Brother Ron did that for a long time. Yoey and Pete have devoted their lives to that. Maybe it's we need to find out how to help in that situation. What do we do with this truth that we have? I mean, it's great that we believe abortion is wrong, but what are we going to do? You know, I'm thankful for a church that cares about this topic. I'm thankful for a church that supports those who are on the front line fighting against this. I'm thankful for that. But what are we going to do as well? What can we do to rescue those who are being taken away to death? Because at the end of the day, to me and for me, it's about the babies. And this, to me, has so impacted our nation. This sin has so impacted our nation that it is the cause of all this other insanity that we see. When you can say that it's okay to kill babies, you have a serious problem. just like you did when you said it was okay to kill Jews, just when you said it was okay to enslave African people, when you can say something like that, we have a serious problem. When you say that it's okay to kill babies, 59 million since 1973, 59 million. 59 million babies. And those are the ones that we get the numbers on. 59 million babies. That's a hard number to wrap our minds around. We have a major problem. We have sin that is all feeding from, I believe, this. Because it is the belief that there is no God, the worldview that there is no God, that we are just all here by mistake. And my young people that are out there in those college campuses and those professors, they're giving you that fantastic philosophy. Let me tell you, if there is no God, and we all got here by chance, then who cares about anybody? Then we can all do what is right in our own eyes. And we can all take in the chaos that will come from that. Because that is what it will lead to. If there is no supreme authority, one God that created all things, that has called us into existence and into being and gives us the way to live, if there is no authority, then we are going to have chaos. And that is what brings this chaotic thought, those type of beliefs opposite of that, that we are all here by someone's theory, because they haven't even proven it, but that we all just came here from nothing. All of this that we have here came from nothing. No one created it. No one has any purpose in it. It's just all here by chance. Then what's the big deal? You're probably doing those babies a favor. They probably are going to have a miserable life. You might as well just end it now. Still, I go back to us. What are we going to do? What are we going to do about those babies? I don't know. But we got to do something. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for your word.